Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Stay there. We will cover the NFL trade deadline with you coming up in about 15 minutes. The deadline is hit here at 4 o'clock. As we know right now, the Falcons have not made any moves, but there are tons of teams who have made trades that will impact the rest of the way. We'll fill you in on that. Right now, though, we got to talk some dogs. Mark Zeno in for Mike today and the rest of the week. We got to start, Connor, with what we saw down in Jacksonville. Mark Zeno was there, as a matter of fact, said he had a great time. Of course, this game's going to take a break from Jacksonville over the next few seasons as they renovate that stadium. But the resiliency of this team, man, I mean, like, that is where I start as I'm watching this game play out. And just, again, the wherewithal of the quarterback to take a knee when he did, knowing, hey, we need to just keep the ball out of their hands, the game's at hand. There are just so many things about Gunner that I continue to be impressed about.
And that play in particular, I think sums up that something Gunner has been doing every week this season. We've seen in real time him make improvements, him not make the same mistake twice. And so earlier in the season against Auburn, he runs it in there. Georgia gets the cover that day. After the game, Kirby wasn't exactly thrilled about that because did put the Georgia defense back out there. This time around, almost the exact same situation on a third down, can just, you know, dive into the end zone, put Georgia up 2 scores. Cover and hit the over, and he elects to take a knee there. They've run out the clock. I think it is something that, you know, for all the complaints anyone might have about Gunnar Stockton, the toughness, the resiliency, I think the mental IQ that he possesses is something that has gone under discussed, and he's just continued to incrementally get better every week. And, you know, is he the best quarterback in college football right now? No. Is he going to be a first-round NFL draft pick? No. But he's a quarterback that's getting better every week, and that is incredibly valuable in a sport that I think now requires you to be playing your best football at the end of the year.
Yeah, money certainly changed hands on one kneel down, that was for sure. For those who had Florida in the under, me, happy. Other people, not so much. I don't know if Georgia's happy with their first half performances, because other than in Kentucky, they have not had a lead at the first half in SEC play. I don't want to say it's by design, Connor, but at some point, are we expecting them to have a breakout offensive first half against an SEC opponent?
Well, you know, I think they moved the ball very well against Ole Miss and against Tennessee, but the issue has been that the offense and defense have never really been able to be in sync at the same time. You know, against Florida, hey, they got the fast start you wanted. They score a touchdown on their opening drive, and they get a stop on the Florida side of the field. But from there, just instantly, you know, again, bad punt by Brett Thorson after a 3-and-out, and then a 1-play touchdown drive for Florida. And I think that speaks to, again, this is a young team, and while, yes, they are older and they're no longer freshmen or sophomores, et cetera, it is just something that I think we're learning that this is going to be who they are, and it's something that you hope gets fixed maybe a year from now. But, you know, this team started slowly in offensive games last year, and it was a much more veteran-laden team. So I do think that there are things that they can improve on, small things that they can fix. You know, the interception came off of a deflection from an own Georgia player there. So I think it's hard to be locked in for 60 minutes. But I think Georgia, especially as they get deeper in the season, and what was so worrying about the Florida game in particular, there were long stretches in the middle parts of that game where it just didn't seem like they were able to do anything. And then at the end of both halves, they sort of snapped back into it. You can't beat an Alabama, a Texas A&M, an Ohio State, an Indiana playing that type of football like we saw on Saturday against Florida.
What's the injury update for the Dogs as we speak today as they get ready for Miss State? What's the latest, Connor?
Yeah, coming out of the Florida game, we thought it'd be really tough, but it sounds like they might be able to get DeMello Jones back at cornerback this week. I think that's really big with how Mississippi State wants to stretch the field vertically. Sounds like Chris Cole, their outside linebacker, who, you know, again, hasn't had the statistical season that I think a lot of people thought he would have, but you watch the second half of that game and it was noticeable that he wasn't out there, and the presence and the impact that he makes, I think, is noticeable. So if they're able to get those two guys, they're going to be without Jordan Hall for the foreseeable future, which is a loss there in the middle of that defensive line, especially because they just don't have a lot of veteran bodies there at that position. The interesting thing at the wide receiver position for me, you know, you're out Colby Young, you're out Talon Taylor. It's got a lot of young guys in that room. They really only played four wide receivers on Saturday against Florida, and that's not something they do very often if they have their way. They like to employ, you know, a 6-7-man rotation. And so I think because of the injuries that they have at wide receiver right now, they are playing a little bit more of a shallow rotation, and I am curious to see what kind of impact that has as the season progresses.
Connor, last time the Dogs were in Starkville, Mississippi State was at the beginning of not winning a conference game for nearly 2 years. It's going to be a much different environment and a much different team. How are they planning to deal with all the cowbells?
Yeah, it's something that, you know, again, they've said noise is noise. It is a little different just in terms of the type of noise, but again, like, this team's been on the road at Auburn at night. They went up to Neyland Stadium earlier in this season. They're not going to be all that phased. I think by the noise, they didn't have a false start or an offside in either of those games, and I do think that is significant for this group in terms of how they go out there and prepare. But, like, I know this is a Mississippi State team. You see a 1-4 in SEC play. Played a lot of close games. They played Florida tough. They probably should have won that. They should have beaten Texas. They blew a 17-point lead in that game. And I think this is a Mississippi State team with nothing to lose. And they are clearly a better team than they were a season ago when they didn't win an SEC game. And this is a very big spot for them to go out and make a statement there. Georgia coming off an emotional rivalry game. You've got Texas at home next week. We talked earlier about it's a young team. Normally, I would say this feels like a trap game, but with how Georgia has played every week and maybe played down to its level of competition, I don't think that this team views this game in the way that a past team or other teams might potentially do. They know this Mississippi State team is capable of jumping up and much certainly beating, but also at the very least putting a scare into this Georgia team.
So what did Kirby say about this Miss State team? What concerns him?
You start with their wide receivers, Brennan Thompson, who's one of the fastest players in the conference, and then on the other side, an equally fast player, Anthony Evans, who Georgia had on their team last year. And when Georgia brings in Zach Branch, Anthony Evans goes and hits the portal because they did have a lot of overlap there. I will say, I think Georgia does that 10 times out of 10. You see how important Zachariah Branch has been to this team, but Anthony Evans has had a breakout year for Mississippi State, caught the game-winning touchdown pass on Saturday against Arkansas to beat them. The strength of this Mississippi State team, and really this offense run by Jeff Lebby, is to stretch the field vertically and attack downfield. Georgia, especially at the safety position right now, we've seen they've had some issues with that, and I think this Mississippi State offense, particularly when they throw the football, is going to try and make things very difficult for this Georgia defense.
Connor, what's your feeling on this? Not Kirby, I know what they're going to say in the locker room. They're not worried about it, and Kirby's not worried about it. But what is your feeling on the idea that, again, Georgia continually has to come from behind late in games? It's not a sustainable formula to win, especially when you start talking about college football playoff opponents. At some point, they have got to be able to pull away. What is your level of concern that this team might be in a situation where they don't make the critical play down the stretch and lose a game?
The fact that they keep finding themselves in this position is why I don't believe they're going to win a national championship. Now, I still think they're going to get into the college football playoff, and a lot of it is just going to come down to who they can get matched up against. You saw, I think, Ohio State, that really benefit them a season ago. You saw Penn State get to the college football playoff semifinals because they got the benefit of playing an SMU team and a Boise State team before they went and played Notre Dame. But just with the way they've played week in, week out, like, we've played 8 games to this point. That's 2/3 of the way through the regular season schedule. at a certain point, this just is who Georgia is. They just it's hard for them, especially against their schedule, to play a full 60-minute football game. So I think at a certain point, you have to sort of accept that this is just kind of who they are. The days of them blowing out, rolling over opponents, I think, is gone. Now, they might get up big this weekend against Mississippi State. They did it last year against that team, that 41-31 score, maybe not totally indicative of how that game played out. But at a certain point, I'm just sort of at the belief that this is who this team is, a good team, a team that is capable of beating anyone, but also a team that is capable of losing anyone, especially when you do get into that 12-team playoff where you theoretically have the best 12 teams at the end of the season.
Did you think it was surprising that Josh Brooks puts out that statement early in the week as LSU and the turmoil that's going on there? And we're seeing it all around college football. I mean, but there are some schools that will be looking for new ADs, but LSU is one of them. And Josh puts out that statement that he is not looking, nor does he want to go anywhere.
It was, I think, an example of great leadership by Josh Brooks to go ahead, you know, not even 24 hours after LSU parts ways with Scott Woodward, to sort of quell any sort of notion that he might publicly be interested in that job. I'm sure he's going to renegotiate a contract behind the scenes and get, I believe, a deserved raise for the job that he has done here at the University of Georgia. But it's very easy to connect the dots as to why he would be interested in LSU. He is from Hammond, Louisiana. He is an LSU alum. He has worked in that state before in higher athletics. And so for him to go out there to say, hey, Georgia's the place that I want to be, I think that's very encouraging, because as we've sort of seen with this LSU situation, I would throw Florida in here as well, as they currently don't have a president. The importance of alignment and having a strong head coach, athletic director, and president, I think, is critical. And it is huge for Georgia that they, over their championship year starting in 2021, have had the same athletic director in Josh Brooks, the same president in Jerry Moorhead, and the same head coach in Kirby Smart. And I do believe that all three of those are aligned and in lockstep and consistently, I believe, doing what is best for Georgia. And with LSU, you see sometimes you have too many cooks in the kitchen. That is not the case with Georgia. These guys all work together very well.
Connor, what's your take on Auburn with Hugh Freeze being let go and another buyout for head coach there?
It was time. I mean, he went 6-16 in SEC games. You don't score an offensive touchdown against Kentucky, especially when you're an offensive guy. There was just nothing that he had showed that there was a belief that things were going to get better. And I understand, you know, hey, you're Auburn, you're in a crowded coaching market. I don't buy into that, oh, because Florida and LSU are perceived as better jobs, that you should have to sit there and wait. If you believe there is a coach out there that is better than Hugh Freeze, and quite frankly, with what we've seen, I believe there are a lot of coaches that would have done a better job at Auburn than Hugh Freeze had done. You deserve and earn it and owe it to yourself to go out there and try and make it happen. There's too much money to be made and too much money to be lost by falling into irrelevancy. And that's sort of where Auburn is walking very closely to right now. I still fundamentally believe that the original sin in all this goes back to 2020, when they decided to stop paying for Gus Malzahn's recruits. And you could say, oh, that was pre, you know, NIL. We all know that under the table payments were being made. Auburn, in an effort to try and push Gus Malzahn out, cut his knees out from under him for recruiting. So you have 1 year where you're not recruiting. That search was a mess. They end up getting Brian Harsin, who was just not an SEC caliber head coach. And so now you've sort of been wandering around in the wilderness for 5+ seasons, and you've got to absolutely nail this next coach and understand that it might take some time for him to get his legs under him. You can't expect him to come in, I believe, in year one and turn things around. But the problem that Hugh Freeze showed is that he kept asking for patience, when I think by year two you should have shown at least some incremental improvement, and that just didn't happen. So I believe Auburn made the right call in firing Hugh Freeze. It was just time to go, and I think time to move into a different direction for Auburn.
Last thing, Connor Riley from Dog Nation. It's Dukes and Bell, Mark Zeno in for Mike. The Falcons have signed someone. We'll tell you who that is. Stay there. What kind of game do we get Saturday? Close, hard-fought game. Do the Dogs do what they do? First half, second half, blowout. What do you expect?
I think it's going to be a high-scoring back-and-forth game where Georgia maybe extends itself in the second and third quarters and starts to pull away a little bit. And then I think Mississippi State's going to keep throwing, and Georgia's going to have to put together a late drive to close out the win, maybe not retake the lead in the fourth quarter, but just keep Mississippi State at arm's length throughout the game. I do expect, like we saw against Ole Miss, against Tennessee, I think this is going to be a game where Georgia's going to have to win with their offense because of how Mississippi State plays, both offensively and defensively.
Connor, tell the people where they can find your stuff.
Yep, you guys can follow me on Twitter, at @KConnorRiley. We got the first college football playoff rankings coming out tonight.
Awesome. Thanks again, brother. We'll talk soon.
By the way, two things.
What's that?
Number one, don't be surprised tonight when Texas A&M is the number one team in the country.
over Ohio State?
And Indiana, yeah. Don't be surprised. That's just my prediction.
The committee likes to do craziness like that.
In the first week, absolutely. They also like to leave themselves wiggle room. The most likely team to take a loss out of those three is Texas A&M.
Sure. With the remaining schedule.
With the remaining schedule, it's most likely Texas A&M. So
Aggies will go nuts tonight if that happens.
They'll hang their hat on the fact that they played a tougher schedule and that they beat Notre Dame. All three teams have wins over two ranked opponents.
Sure.
You know, and you know, that should be enough. The other thing, too, you know what I really want to see? Look, and I've said this all week long about Georgia. They're only winning because of their coach. Like, they're not an untalented team. They're not a bad team. But Kirby is such a difference maker in game management and fundamentally handling those big situations the right way. That's number one. But I want to see the second round matchup because Indiana will be a top four seed when it's all said and done. I hope it's Georgia-Indiana. Because the only other guy I think that will rip your heart out as a coach, take a bite of it and chew it right in front of you, is Cignetti. And I talked to a couple of odds makers. You want to guess what the line is on that game?
You're talking
about if they were to play right now, projected line, if they were to play right now on a neutral site, Georgia-Indiana.
Indiana's favorite. Yeah.
By how much?
I would say no more than 4.
7.5.
No way.
Yep.
We're coming back. Who did the Falcons sign? Also, we'll get you caught up on the trade deadline right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Taking care of your eyes shouldn't be a hassle. That's why Warby Parker is a one-stop shop for all your vision needs. Our prescription glasses and sunglasses are expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Stop by a nearby store or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. Did we mention we offer eye exams and take vision insurance too? For everything you need to see, head to your nearest Warby Parker store or visit warbyparker.com today. That's warbyparker.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Zeno in for Mike today. We're headed up to Flyer Branch tomorrow to talk to Ra. You have more questions for him, by the way?
I may have a few more questions.
Okay, because I know you asked him.
I will ask him things directly.
A bunch of questions, and you looked at Ra and you said a bunch of things in that presser. I'm hoping that you've got more stuff for him tomorrow. We'll be up there.
I didn't waste all the bullets in the gun. Trust me.
Okay.
I'm loaded with ammunition.
All right. Fair enough.
Talk that no, Mark. Talk.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, O. We'll be up there. Player segment as well. We'll get the latest on what the injury update is. Here's who the Falcons have signed. And Mark and I were just having this conversation. Offensive lineman Andrew Stuber.
Mm-hmm.
So you said he played where?
Played in Cincinnati and with the Patriots.
He is a guard.
Mm-hmm.
This, again, is just us speculating, but you sign a guard in which, coming off of
right
a
week. Right to the 53-man roster.
Correct.
Right to the 53-man
yeah,
roster.
Yeah, no practice squad. In a week, coming off of a week, should I say, where both of your guards were injured.
Injured. Mm-hmm. My guess is there'll be some issues. The starting five will look a little bit different on Sunday.
Well, so Lindstrom didn't have a boot on or anything after the game. That was the news that came out of Foxborough, which was, okay, he's walking normal, but there may be some other stuff that he's dealing with. The Storm Norton, he's coming back, but the other guard, Matthew Bergeron, was also injured. And so Andrew Stuber was signed today. And again, that is not necessarily a trade or anything like that, because the trade deadline came and went today. And we're going to go over some of this stuff here in a sec. But if you're going, what did the Falcons do? Well, they didn't necessarily trade for anybody, but they signed Andrew. And this is a depth move, guys. Zeno's right. Like, we don't know what this offensive line is going to look like on Sunday.
Put it this way. Again, being signed to the 53-man roster, it's like, hey, by the way, you got a passport? Because we're playing a game on Sunday in a different country. I mean, if it's a depth move, you know.
Well, it's just in case, right? I mean, look, maybe both guys are available, but God forbid, what if something happens over there and now one of them has to come out? You need experience. You need a guy, again, you need to have more depth just in case. I think we got into a situation Sunday where you had both guards out and it was like, uh-oh. Now, I think it was it Hilton, I believe, that stepped in there? Hinton. Who stepped in there. But, yeah, I think – I don't see this as –
those dudes are big up in the middle. Quiddy Payne.
They're dudes. That's why they're number one against the run.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there. Meanwhile, let's talk about some of the moves that were made today. And, again, I'm just going to run through some of this. The big moves, guys, the Jets basically getting and moving on from Sauce Gardner. He is now going to the Colts. Ironically, we will see him Sunday. A.D. Mitchell, you remember him? He was a draft pick, high draft pick. He goes to the Jets. That was part of the deal. Quinnen Williams is now a Cowboy as the Jets continue to dismantle their team. They've added a bunch of picks. The Cowboys also traded, is it Mazi Smith? I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
To the Jets as part of that deal, some give and take. But this is more about draft equity for the Jets. As they acquired a bunch of first and second round picks. We mentioned Jalen Phillips going to Philly, Jacoby Myers going to Jacksonville. These are all trades now that have become official here over the last 24 hours or so. The curious thing for me is A.J. Brown was not traded. And for all the conversation about A.J. Brown and the distraction that he's been in with the Eagles –
He wasn't going anywhere. He won't be there next year.
I agree.
He ain't putting on an Eagles uniform next year.
But where the Eagles are, hey, we're going to go win another Super Bowl. A.J. Brown helps us do that. But he was not traded today, and they did not shop him. The other guy that was not shopped was Jalen Waddle.
Well, there were calls made for him. They just didn't meet the asking price, or I'm sure the Dolphins put a first-round price on him, and nobody wanted to pay it. But I from what I was reading everywhere, there were certainly calls placed about the availability of Jalen Waddle.
Okay. Bradley Chubb as well? Same situation there with the Dolphins?
Yeah.
Okay. Who else today as we look at all these deals and these transactions that were being made? And look, I don't know if the Cowboys really got better. They picked up a linebacker.
They did. Well, they got better.
Well, hold on.
Couldn't got much worse.
They picked up a linebacker from Cincinnati. It's not Micah. He's not Micah.
No, he's not supposed to be. But Quinnen Williams will help.
Well,
the interior of that defense got better.
Wait a minute. Didn't they have an interior defensive lineman that they got in the Micah trade?
And he sucked.
Well, okay.
That's why Green Bay got rid of him.
Exactly.
So, you're basically, this is a makeup trade to improve yourself from the trade that you made with Micah, because the guy you got is not living up to expectations.
No, but overall, I mean, look, if you look at it as Quinnen Williams – Micah Parsons and a first-round pick for Quinnen Williams, that seems more equitable because the Cowboys had to give a first-round pick back to the Jets, right?
Yeah, they did.
I mean, so if that's the trade, that seems fair. That doesn't seem like a loss at all for the Cowboys. If I got Quinnen Williams, gave away Micah Parsons, got Quinnen Williams and a first-round pick, that feels like a win on the whole.
Jets 2026, they have two
firsts, two seconds. And three firsts and 27.
It's nuts. But this is how
Listen,
you rebuild this
You know
thing.
How many players you can get in the top 50 in Madden ratings
for the Jets.
Remember when Woody Johnson said that? He uses his son to look at Madden ratings to evaluate players. You know how many players in the top 50 in Madden ratings you can get? It's a lot of top 50 Madden dudes.
All right, 404-726.
Philadelphia traded away for more first-round picks and second-round picks.
Who's that?
The Jets.
Oh, yeah. 404-726-0929. You can hit us up. Let us know what you think. Coming up, we will talk to Alex Anthopoulos next hour, by the way, Braves general manager, about the hiring of Walt Weiss. They have reached an agreement. We talked a lot about this story yesterday. And we'll dive in with Alex about not only that, but also some of the offseason moves that need to be made for this team, because we are there now. World Series is completed. We weren't in it. And I would love to be in it next year, but there's some work to be done. And so we're going to talk to Alex about all those things. But, Zeno, real quick, before we take our next break, Walt Weiss, we had this discussion today on our Behind the Curtain show that we do at around 11 every day. And I asked you what were your honest thoughts about Weiss. And Mike and I went around and around on this yesterday. First of all, the main thing I want you to know about for me is it doesn't matter who the manager is if he doesn't have players. Players make the difference, as I mentioned yesterday. But some people, most people who found this out through us yesterday when Mike Conte came in and broke the news were like, yeah, they didn't feel, I guess, an excitement. And I said to you, and I'll ask this question to our audience, who was going to move the needle for you when it came to making our new Braves manager that you were just going to be ecstatic, that you were just going to be like, oh, my God, I can't believe we went and got this guy. Who is that guy in Major League Baseball? And the thing that I'm getting to is these big brands and the names that you once knew in Major League Baseball and all these managers that stuck around for a jillion years and you went, man, if we ever got him, who is that in Major League Baseball now? I think sometimes we overlook just some of the basic intangibles when you go, how good can this manager be? And what's it really mean? Like, who's going to move the needle for Atlanta to go, who was that guy?
Let me put it in this context. If I had said to you, you know, hypothetically speaking, July 1st, Brian Snitker and the Braves signed a two-year extension, and they were running this back the way they were,
would I have been mad?
No. As we sit here currently, you would have thought, as we head into the hot stove season, some things they need to address, but overall, if we get healthy again and the guys play to the back of the baseball card again of what they would were supposed to do, this should be a playoff team again.
Agreed.
Right?
Agreed.
Okay. You took a guy who is sitting right next to Brian Snitker on the bench, and now he's doing the same thing Brian Snitker to do. And in reality, you're going to say the same thing, which is if these guys all perform to the back of the baseball card and they're healthy, we should be a playoff team again. So I am with you. Like, what were you hoping for?
That's,
right? Like,
that's
I mean,
the thing.
At the end of the day, this boils down to the 26 dudes in that dugout and in that clubhouse. If they can return to some semblance of 2022 form and prior, right, then there shouldn't be any issues with this team making the postseason. Now, you know me, I always look at it and say, when I go in with a what if in baseball, when you have a lot of what ifs, and the Braves had a ton last year, you got to assume 70% of those what ifs are no. They're not all going to be yeses. If you get all yeses, guess what? You're winning a World Series. But the idea that, can we assume all these guys are going to perform again? You could do that. I'm not doing it. The point simply is that I don't know that it mattered who you hired, because the general feeling for everybody here is that when they get healthy again and these guys perform to the level we think they can, they're going to be a playoff team. And then it's just time to roll the dice, and hopefully you get a good matchup crap shooting you. You got enough pitching to get you through. You got a Trey Savage sitting somewhere.
I'll say this, and look, this is the thing that we all do, because it's human nature. When a guy has been with a team or a manager, or he's been an assistant coach with another player, or another coach, you automatically assume he's going to do the same thing that guy did. I don't think that's the case. I think Walt Weiss is his own man. He's going to do things differently. It may not seem that way, but that's part of the perception. What you're talking about is part of the perception. I don't think he just goes in there and does, well, we're going to do what Snit did last year, guys. Let's go get him.
No, then he's not going to say that. He's not going to do that.
He's not going to do
that. He's going to put his own spin on it, his own approach to it. But the bottom line here is that everybody agreed prior to them deciding Snitker was going to, we weren't healthy this year. If we were healthy, we would have been better. We would have played better. We would have had better results.
Health was the key.
Okay. Well, then those things should all hold true. The defense's case should hold water.
We're coming back. Hey, we'll find out what's on Day Day's mind. 5 o'clock hour, more on the Falcons. Zeno said something absolutely crazy to me today, and I got to share it with you. We'll do that in less than 30 minutes
no
on
way.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mark Zeno.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Taking care of your eyes shouldn't be a hassle. That's why Warby Parker is a one-stop shop for all your vision needs. Our prescription glasses and sunglasses are expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Stop by a nearby store or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. Did we mention we offer eye exams and take vision insurance too? For everything you need to see, head to your nearest Warby Parker store or visit warbyparker.com today. That's warbyparker.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Goes in for Mike. Falcon Report's on the way as we'll dive into Zeno's assessment of what's going on with this organization. We'll be up
Nobody
there.
Nobody wants that.
Well, yes, we do. We'll be up there tomorrow talking with Coach. Is this right, real quick, as the Hawks play tonight, by the way, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pre-game 7:30, tips at 8. It's Orlando, but Zion is out for 7 to 10 days. Is that correct, Big O?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to him?
Hurt this year. Now we got a hammy. Hurt hammy now.
Dude.
About he bragged about how well good a shape he was in this offseason.
Yeah, him and Luka.
Doing CrossFit exercises, got his body working in all kinds of different ways, and hurt for the second time this year.
Yeah, already. Second time?
They have not won a ball game yet.
Yeah, that's good for us, though, right? Hawks fans understand we get their first-round pick, okay? That's why we are cheering for the Pelicans to completely lose every game.
Looking real good right now, too.
Yeah, but I wanted to mention that about Zion, because he's already been injured a couple of times this season. All right, Day-Day, we got to find out what's on your mind. Coming up, Falcon Report. Also, Alex Anthopoulos is on the way, Braves general manager, as we will talk to him about the hiring of Walt Weiss and all the things, man. It's going to be a curious offseason. Hot stove, Zeno said. It's going to be interesting hot stove season. What's going on today, Day-Day?
Well, first off, I want to ask, do I have Mark Zeno's approval? Because with him coming in today, I made sure I hit a lot of curls. And as you notice, I am wearing one of those athletic short sleeve shirts.
You got sleeves on though, Dana.
You know what I'm saying? To see if the muscles. So Zeno, did I do you justice?
Where's your backwards cap, dog?
Did you do yourself justice? It's not about a comparison to me. It's about what did you do for you. It's you against you every day, my friend.
Are you flexing right now?
No, why?
You see that?
I love how he looked down real quick too. He looked down.
I don't think so.
Yeah, don't say it. He's looking at his chest right now.
As soon as he said that, he goes,
"It ain't about you.
Right.
It ain't about me. It's about you.
How do I look though?
How
guys?
Do I look? How do I look?
I'm like, what are you doing flexing right now?
You know, I think this is a hostile work environment.
All right, all jokes aside.
Man.
Congratulations to UGA hoops coach Mike White reaching 300 career wins. Dogs beat Bellarmine 104-59 yesterday. So, all right, that's fine and dandy. Well deserved. Congrats there, right?
Yeah.
And with the hoop season being underway, however, how big of a leap do the Dogs need to make on the court this year? Last season finished 20-13 overall, 8-10 in the SEC standings, knocked out of the first round of the tournament by Gonzaga.
Yeah, look, I need them to make a I'd love to say an Elite Eight run, but can I get to a Sweet 16? I mean, like, seriously, I know the SEC, it used to be Zeno, Kentucky, and everybody else.
Right.
It isn't anymore, right? Bruce Pearl just stepped away. His son's taken over. Auburn's still going to be really good. Alabama yep. is still really good. We're talking about hoops, guys.
Yeah.
Really good.
SEC is the best college basketball.
Arkansas now with Patino.
So it's turned into just that.
I mean, Calipari,
it's the best
sorry.
It's the best college
it
best,
didn't
best
used to be that, and now it is. So this is a tougher task than it used to be for Coach White. Even though, you know, he was at Florida, he knows this. Florida, defending national champions. Mm-hmm. They just lost last night. I just feel like I'd love to see them go on a tournament run. But I also am being realistic about how difficult it is right now to win in the SEC and be one of those top 10
and
teams.
And here's the problem, okay? Last year, Georgia was 4-11 in quad one games.
Right.
Like, that's an argument you don't belong in the NCAA tournament, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. By the way, they were 16-1 against quad two, three, and four opponents. So they can beat up on the little guys. They're going to have to figure out a way to beat some of the big guys in conference first if they have any hope of making a deep run. They were clearly overmatched in that Gonzaga game. Mm-hmm. It wasn't close.
Right.
They were outclassed. And, you know, they're only returning two starters from last year, and it's going to be an issue. I mean, when you're only getting 31% of your minutes returning, there's a lot of turnover there.
Yeah.
In a conference that's getting increasingly deeper.
You're right.
And so, you know, credit to Mike White for putting Georgia back on the map to being relevant again, at least in college hoops.
Mm-hmm.
Being relevant and getting back to the tournament and back-to-back year. Look, put it this way. If they get back to the tournament again, he'll have done a better coaching job this year than he did last year. And a pretty damn good one last year.
Right.
Well, he had a first-round pick.
Yeah, and Ace Anul, yeah.
I mean, that's the other part about it. I mean, you know, it's one thing when you have all this turnover with NIL and certainly the portal. But when you do have NBA-caliber talent on your team, you got to take advantage of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's the other side of this. There, you know, there'll be a lot of teams that have guys that have been playing for five, maybe even 6 years, depending, you know, what schools they've been to. But these NBA guys, the caliber of the talent of Ace Anul, they're not staying. They're going to be there. They're one and done. And so you got to try to take advantage of it.
Do you want to know where Georgia's going to have to make their money this year?
Hoops?
Yes, thank you.
Oh.
On the perimeter from three. They have got to be a better three-point shooting team. I mean, look, Ace Anul and Silas DeMary, you know, were both their best three-point shooters last year. And Newell was only 29% from three.
Yeah. Right.
So I think, you know, I don't really know all that much about these guys on the roster yet and what they're really capable of. But if they can be better from three, and particularly in this conference where – go look at all the great three-point shooting teams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we know Alabama does it. Tennessee will continue to do it. Kentucky plays such a grueling pace that's tough to keep up with. The only thing that keeps you in games like that is shooting. And shooting the three.
Yeah.
All right. Steve Sarkisian, guys, he believes a three-loss SEC team should have a chance to reach the college football playoffs.
Why?
100%.
Now, and that's going to be my question. Do you think this is more so because of the fact that Texas very well could find themselves as a three-loss team?
Whoa.
I'm just asking. I don't mean it like that.
I'll make your wager right now. If Texas splits with AM and Georgia, they're in as a three-loss team.
You think so?
100%.
See, I think Georgia's strength of schedule is 100%.
Better.
And if that was to happen to Georgia, where they would lose to Texas and maybe, you know,
if they lose to Georgia Tech and Texas.
Correct. But I still think Georgia's in. I feel like they have a better shot of getting in under that scenario.
Because of what has happened in the cannibalization, if you look at what has happened, particularly in the ACC and in the Big 12, which, oh, by the way, Texas Tech is going to rout BYU this weekend. We're done with that malarkey. That Fugazi.
They're undefeated.
They're Fugazi.
Huh?
Them and their Mormon underwear. Fugazi.
You're not respecting BYU?
Running back coming back. LJ Martin's going to be back this weekend for BYU.
Care.
Yeah.
Don't care. Texas Tech is statistically, it's a top five offense and a top 10 defense. But beyond that, what's happened in the cannibalization in the ACC and the Big 12, right now only one ACC team is getting in. And I'll get to Georgia Tech in a second. Right now, only one ACC and only one Big 12 is getting in. Mm-hmm. So that means...
One Big 12?
So you're saying just the conference champion?
I have a hard time believing. I mean, if it's not Texas Tech, right, if they don't win the Big 12, they will get in. Texas Tech will get in. If they finish 11-1, and which I think they will, yeah. And even if they lose in the Big 12 championship game, that's how another team gets in.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Now, Georgia Tech's path, believe it or not, I think they actually got helped by this loss. And I'll explain why. If Virginia and Louisville end up in the conference championship game, and I don't know how the tiebreakers go. I know there's three teams with one loss right now, Virginia, Louisville, and Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. But if it's Virginia and Louisville, the winner gets in, the loser is obviously out. If Tech finishes at 11-1 with a win over Georgia, I think that's enough to get them in.
Mm.
I think that's enough to get them in. Now, what does that mean for Georgia, who may end up with two or three losses at that point in time? That may be part of the conversation. Like, isn't it crazy that that game could literally be for a play? That literally could be a playoff game.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. We're talking about Georgia Tech and Georgia.
If Georgia loses to Texas, and that literally is a playoff game for the winner. I think you're getting five in from the SEC. I think you're getting three in from the Big Ten. There's a world where USC, if they run the table, which includes beating Oregon,
they could get in.
They will get in and be a fourth Big Ten team, which would end up knocking out probably an SEC team. But between the Big Ten and the SEC, you're getting eight. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame is 9. ACC is 10. Big 12 is 11. And then you got one spot up for grabs from somewhere else.
Mm.
I'm sorry, that's the Group of Five champ. The lowest rank. That's where it is.
And that may be a Memphis?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Memphis.
I mean, I'm just throwing it out.
South Florida's got a lot.
They do.
They have better wins.
But Memphis got the win over South Florida, though, right?
Was that last week?
Yeah.
Yeah. South Florida's got a win over a Power 5 school, though. Yeah, Power 4 school.
It's going
to
be interesting.
And Memphis lost to UAB.
The other part of this. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcon Report's on the way, guys. The latest on the trade deadline. Falcons did sign a kicker and an offensive lineman. We'll fill in the blanks there for you. Stay tuned, and Alex Anthopoulos is on the way as well in the 5 o'clock hour, right at 5:20. Z, I don't disagree with you. The ACC all of a sudden got interesting, you know, with Tech losing, because everybody has one loss outside of Virginia, right, in that conference. And so I used to think maybe 3 weeks ago, all right, they still have a chance to get three teams in. I think you're right about how many teams get in from the ACC. The Big 12 is...
There's not Georgia Tech beating Georgia would really give them the only case to be a non-conference at 11-1.
That's right.
They don't have to... That really, given what they've done all year long and their metrics and strength of victory and things of that nature, I think there's a case. I don't know. The problem is that Notre Dame is given a free ticket in. That's the problem.
That's the issue. And they're, what, two losses right now?
I should say that's the problem. That's the problem for Georgia Tech. It's not a problem for the committee. It's not a problem for the rest of the country to see the gold helmet in the college football playoff, but it's a problem for Georgia Tech.
Yeah. Hmm. All right, guys, that's what's on my mind on what is today? Tuesday.
Yeah, man. Tomorrow's Wednesday, and we'll be at Flowery Branch. Good stuff, Day-Day. College football playoff rankings. This is why we're talking about all this. The first rankings come out tonight. And usually what has happened over the last few years is the committee plays with our emotions. They throw something out there and go, hey!
They love to get the debate
going fast.
Ohio State,
we really like you guys, but you know
what? You're the number three team in the nation.
Yeah, but Alabama's had – they've won 7 or 8 in a row. They're going to be number one. I don't know what plays out tonight, but I will say this. I don't think there's any debating the top four teams to start. This is not where we're going to be in 4 weeks.
No. Ohio State, Indiana, A&M, Bama.
Correct.
That's it.
And I don't care how
Big Ten and SEC, yay.
Don't care how you put them out there, but those are the top four teams.
My prediction, A&M is the number one team in the country tonight.
The come from behind win against Notre Dame on the road speaks
huge
volumes.
Yeah. Again, they both have two wins against ranked teams.
Well, the beatdown at LSU got Brian Kelly fired, yeah. Right? So that's the other thing. Like, they have
Indiana
impressive wins.
And Ohio State both beat in Illinois, which is okay. They were, like, you know, not that great of a team. I mean, the Indiana win over Oregon may give them the nod over A&M, but
Indiana,
outside of the rest of their schedule has been soft as hell.
Indiana's beaten three top 25 teams.
Three or two?
Well, Iowa at the time, I believe, right? Was they have wins at Iowa? Illinois is the one I'm thinking about.
Illinois, yeah.
That was
Illinois
the other...
and Oregon are their only wins against ranked opponents. Yeah, but rest of their schedule, Iowa, Michigan State, UCLA, Maryland, blah. Indiana State, Kennesaw State, there's nothing there. at least in the SEC, when you talk about A&M, look at the meat on the bone that's there across the board.
Hmm. We're going to talk more about the College Football Playoff Committee later in the show. But when we come back, the Falcons address their kicking concerns, and somebody doesn't like kickers.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.